Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Our God gives good gifts to His children. He lavishes His love and His mercy upon us. Today on Better Together, Victoria Osteen, Beth Redmond, Brittany Waters, and Lindy Kofer are with me to talk about knowing God as Father. Come on, join us.
You know, I think one of the most important aspects of knowing God as the Father is how you see God. Mm-hmm. You see, it's how we choose to see God is how we are going to relate to God. Yeah. And I think that's why it's so important that we choose to see God as a heavenly Father, a good heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people didn't have maybe fathers growing up or didn't have a good father growing up. Mm-hmm. And they carry a lot of heaviness and weight when it comes to that image of a father. I'll never forget when I was 16 years old. Just learning how to drive, and I would use any excuse to drive. And one afternoon, Saturday afternoon, my dad was going to make hamburgers. And so he asked me if I wanted to go to the store and pick up a few things. And I said, absolutely. And he said, gave me the keys. And he said, look, Victoria, I want you to go straight there and straight back. And I was like, of course, Dad, and blew a kiss and ran out the door. And just like any good 16-year-old, I went straight down to my best girlfriend's house and picked her up. He had told me before I left to not roll down the passenger side window because it was off the track. And so my friend and I are headed to the grocery store, and we had seen these two little boys in the neighborhood. And so I was like, feeling kind of big shot that I was driving. I was like, roll down the window and let's say hi to him. And she said, I thought you told me the window was broken and your dad said, don't roll it down. And I said, that's okay. You can roll it down this time. It'll be okay. I'll never forget, my world stopped for just a moment. Mm. She rolled that window down and it cracked into a million pieces. Mm. I mean, it shattered. I looked at my friend and I looked at that window and I said, you're going home with me. I mean, the grocery store did not seem important anymore. And I'll never forget walking up the driveway thinking, how am I going to explain this to my father? So I walk in the kitchen with this person I'm not supposed to have with me. And I began to tell him what had happened. You know, and I'll never forget, my dad looked at me. He didn't condemn me. He didn't tell me what a bad person I was. He just looked at me and said, okay. He wasn't disappointed in me, but he didn't condemn me. And I realized that I could go to my dad and tell him my mistake and ask him for forgiveness. Because he had shown himself as a good father. And, you know, it was interesting because that day, my dad didn't take the keys away from me forever. And he didn't separate his heart from me that day. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't make me feel shameful. And I didn't run from him. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually asked him for the keys again, you know. But it's because I knew that I had a good father. And so I believe that how we look at the Father and how we see the Father is going to be a direct result. Are we going to run to the Father? Are we going to run away from the Father? Mm-hmm. Because we're going to need God, because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to need God to help us clean up the messes that we make. Mm-hmm. We're going to need God to help us be better. We're going to need God's forgiveness. And so I just think that we need to, whether we had a good father or not, we need to redefine what our Father in heaven looks like. Mm-hmm. And He is a good Father because He would not have given us His very best, His prized possession, His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us back unto Himself if He didn't want a relationship with us. Because He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to give. He's already given and given and given. You know, and we are taking and taking and taking. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes that when we feel condemned, we have to realize that is not the Father that's condemning us. Mm-hmm. When we feel ashamed, that is not God. He does not condemn. He does not bring shame on us. That's the accuser of the brethren. That's that's the enemy of your soul that is trying to bring that. And so I have to remind myself that I can go to God. He's a good heavenly Father. He loves me. He's never going to disconnect from me. He's going to love me, and it's going to be an everlasting love. And I think that is the first thing as believers we have to get straight in our mind, because a lot of times we don't see God as a good Father. And so I would be, the first thing I would tell someone is, what do you think about God? What do you believe about God? Do you believe he's madly in love with you, or is he mad at you? Does he want to build you, or does he want to beat you? You know, and so those are the questions I believe we need to ask ourselves when we go, when we're thinking about God and trying to understand who he is in our life.
What I love about the grace of God is that you can never be bad enough. No matter how hard you try, no matter how far you run, no matter where you go in your life, you always have a Heavenly Father that is standing by. He's standing close. He's near. And all you have to do is call out to him. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Father. And you know what? He's always right there with his arms outstretched. I love the story of the prodigal son, because it's not necessarily about the son that ran away, but it was about the running father. And that's who God is. And it's just his beautiful grace for us.
I don't know how many of you all had a good father, or how many of you have had to kind of fight through that whole experience with a father to see the, to redefine your love and what you think God thinks about you. But I would really tell anybody to really, you know, examine your heart when it comes to God, and really realize that he gave his very best so that he could be in relationship with me and you. So anyway, that's kind of how I see knowing the Father. And my first approach to him is, what do I think about him? Who is he to me? Does he really love me? Is he mad at me, or is he madly in love with me?
Wow, I love that you're sharing this. I so resonate. I just experienced God as Father in the most powerful way when I was 17 years old. And I experienced it through an encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's what we were talking about last time. The Holy Spirit introduces you to Jesus. And Jesus shows you who the Father is. And for me, Father had been a hard word. And my husband's father took his life when my husband was 7. And then a new father came into his life and abused him. My father was a violent. That was a painful story. So that word, you're like, how am I going to get to know the Trinity? Maybe we'll just do the Son and the Spirit. But I had this powerful encounter because that was a hard word for me. And I'd sing worship songs and I'd get a little stuck there, because we hold up this mirror, and what comes looking back at us can be our experience of our Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit healed me. The Holy Spirit introduced me to Jesus, who showed me the Father. And I remember just laying down on the ground in worship, and people were like, do we need to call a paramedic? I'm like, I'm meeting with the Father. And just, that's what you were saying. Love, acceptance, no condemnation. And I have not had to revisit that subject. In that encounter, it was done and won, and that was it. And I know it's the same for my husband. And, you know, we're bringing our children up and there's a void. You know, there's no pretending. They've had grandmothers, but they've never had a grandfather. And we can only be what we can be. And acknowledging that void, but inviting them to encounter God the Father in that place for themselves. And just last week, we do like family movie night, and there's this new film come out called Show Me the Father. And it's a documentary about people's experiences of their own fathers, good and bad. And it was so powerful, because you had these men who, like you were sharing earlier in the week, you know, your dad showed you who God the Father was. And it was so powerful hearing their testimonies and how one of them, their dad had blessed him at his wedding and spoken over him and read that promise over him, and how affirmed he was. But then there's these other men who there was a void. That word was an abusive word. That word was a painful word until the Holy Spirit introduced them to Jesus, who introduced them to the Father. And they began to give testimony about that moment where they met God the Father for the first time and what that was like and how they could father now from that place of being fathered by the perfect Father. Well, we were just wrecked.
Yeah.
And my husband, he goes and gets his guitar and he just started singing Good, Good Father. So we're like, what else do you do?
Yeah.
We don't need to sit around telling stories about something that the cross has finished.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's finished the pain of that word in my life.
Yes.
We're going to sing and meditate and we're going to teach these kids. Don't feel sorry for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're not perfect either.
Yeah.
Right. All have sinned and fallen short. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go and now sing to the perfect Father. And so we're just in the room and taking communion and just thinking, God, isn't this so beautiful that we didn't have to walk away from that movie feeling robbed, feeling like, oh, we're half a family. Mm-hmm. But because of the gift the Father gave us in sending the Son and leaving us with the Holy Spirit, we get to be reconciled to the Father. And I see we're talking about this. I'm like super pumped. I'm not like, oh.
Yeah. Those are happy tears.
Those are happy tears. And I'm never going to tell a testimony or throw someone under the bus.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go back again to the point that we've all sinned and fallen short. And in God, I love Joyce Meyer's story, that it's never too late for reconciliation. Mm-hmm. It's never too late for the story to end on the earth with a bow. But even if not, God will continue to show us who he is through his son, Jesus, and revealing the Spirit. So this just gets me so, so pumped.
We redefine knowing God as Father by looking at Jesus, because Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And we look at these moments where Jesus is saying, look, please take this cup, but if not, not my will, but yours be done. It's this trust walk. It's this faith walk. We look at actually this bigger picture than just ourselves. So we get to know the Father through Jesus, his relationship with him, his prayer life, his dependence, the providence of God over his life. But I think what is so sweet, I love in scripture that it repeats over and over again that God is Father to the fatherless, that actually he seeks out those who've been abandoned, orphaned, whatever the story is. And God has a special place in his heart for those who are fatherless, and he can more than meet the need, more than meet the deficit. That's just who he is.
Your background is worship.
Yeah.
God knows how to work that out in each and every one of us. And that's why I think it's so amazing, because we're all so unique and we have such unique stories, but the Spirit knows all things.
Yes.
And so he knows exactly how to work and how that instantaneous work, he knew exactly what that was going to bring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's so personal and special.
Wow. I feel like, you know, listening to what you're saying and the whole issue of conviction versus condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the Father, I feel this topic, as you guys were both sharing, this is a message for a generation right now.
Yeah.
Understanding the Father heart of God, because we'll all see God through the lens of what our experience is with our Father, whether you have never had a father, you've had a great father, not a great father, you will view God through that lens, and only the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Only the Holy Spirit can give us this right view of God as God the Father. And I just had a moment 3 days ago. I'm sitting like, should I share this? Where I really felt the Lord convict me of something. And I just right there in my living room, I put on a little show for my kids. And I just said, Lord, like, I repent of this. I ask for your forgiveness. And just had this overwhelming encounter with the Father, because I went, isn't it amazing that outside of a revelation of the Father, this would feel like condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
But because of a right revelation of the Father, even though you've corrected me on something, I feel so loved by God right now. And not just like a emotion of love, but a deep security that is eternal.
Yeah.
It's not of the flesh. It's not of this world. And I feel like when we have these encounters, these moments where we do get these revelations of God the Father, it becomes a foundational piece of our view of God and even how God can speak to us. Because it's, you know, crazy to think Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done. I go, that's a trust in the Father.
Yes.
I feel I've yet to understand, Father, let this cup pass from me. He knows what's coming, but nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done, because I know who you are as the Father. And I'm gripped, with what I do. I work with a lot of youth, high school to college age. That's what I do every day. And it's so fun, but I go, man, this revelation of the Father is what really it changes people from the inside out.
Yeah.
Because people are coming with their own stories, their own experiences, right? Yeah. But the fact that God is a Father that is so purposeful and intentional in our walk with Him, because it also is one of the most healing places in our lives. Yeah. It heals this unspoken void.
Yeah.
That until we encounter God as a Father, there's an unspoken void. Yeah. And, hearing your story and what you're saying, I go, man, I almost sometimes feel like if there's one thing I could just shout for our youth right now, Gen Z, it's meet Him as the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know the Father, because it will change everything.
Mm-hmm.
You will love His ways.
Yeah.
You will love His word. You will find the sweetness in Lordship even when you understand who He is as the Father.
No one compares to God the Father. And I will never forget when I got saved. It felt as if I had this covering, right? And this sense of being cared for in a way I had never understood. That's why the revelation of the shepherd, right? It changed my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He prepares a table before me. In the presence of my enemy, He restores my soul. To me, Psalms 23 has been like the song of the Father over me in my life.
And I think that being lost so much on your generation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fatherless is, it breaks my heart in this. It's the perfect ploy is to take away the fathers. To take away the good fathers. And I had a beautiful dad, and I trusted my dad. I trusted my dad for everything, for my husband. I mean, he stuck up for my husband at times when, I was done. My dad was like, whoa, hold up. And my dad loved my husband. And showed me and would tell me. And so Matt always says to this day, he says, I am married to her because of her dad. because my dad loved him and he saw all the good. My point is, I trusted my dad to lead me. And I think that trust in God and God, this all in all creates us. And then man falls. The first thing he does is fall. Because he believes a lie, and so the trust isn't there anymore. And God is always saying, trust me with your whole heart. Mm-hmm. And then he tells us how to live, and we do everything but follow His goodness in His law, right? And that's all for our benefit. Everything He told us what to do was all for our benefit because He loved us. And then man falls, and that's sin nature that we all have. And then He says, I've got to redeem my kids back. I have to redeem them because I love them so much. I have to send my son, and that trust in God, that we can trust Him even with the no's, even with the God, if you would let this cup pass. But yet I trust who you are. I trust you. Even if you say no to me right now of something I think I need or something I really, really want right now, I'm going to trust you because you know what's best. Because He has the provision.
Well, it was like your own father.
Yeah.
What you needed at the time.
He knew what I needed.
He provided.
Yeah.
Wow.
He knew. He could see the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And He knew what you needed right now. And I think that's what we have to understand is God has whatever we need, but we have to trust that provision.
Yes.
And it may not look like what we think it should look like. He should have been on your side.
Yeah.
You're his daughter.
That's what I told him.
You should have been advocating for you, not Matt. I mean, like, there's blood.
What are you on?
But that provision, and sometimes we think provision as, of course, we want to have enough money to send our kids to school. We want to have a good car with air conditioner. We want to have, and God does provide that, but He also provides the most important things that we need. And that is no condemnation. That is the love, the grace, the forgiveness, those things that are really make us who we are and allow us to have success in this life.
I know that I can trust God's provision because I've seen Him do it time and time and time again in my life. And I can look back, Matt and I look back sometimes and go, I don't know where it came from, but it was there right when we needed it. And God will supply for you. He knows what you need. He will supply what you need whenever you need it, if you trust and if you believe in Him. And, you know, it's beyond even trying to tell somebody how it happened. He will just be there. And I just have experience and I know what I'm talking about and I'll never take it back because I've seen it happen too many times.
I mean, Holy Spirit for me was what helped because I put condemnation a lot on myself. And that is something that I feel, honestly, a lot of people do. Like we hear God tell us, okay, that wasn't the right choice, or, you know, He convicts us and then we bring on the condemnation and we put ourselves down. And my dad was amazing growing up, like absolutely amazing, but he is like trying to be as close to Jesus as anyone that I know. So it's like perfectionism to the T. And he has grown as I've grown, you know, thank God. But it created a level of anxiety, like more of like a pressure to perform opposed to really just having a relationship with God. So growing up, I felt like, okay, I needed to be perfect. I needed to do everything right in order for God to be proud of me or for me to experience all of who He was. Like I had to do everything by the book in order to walk in, you know, the fullness of God. And it wasn't until I was actually on a trip with Chris Kane, just years ago, I was really young, and she, there was a prophet there, and I think I told this story before, but I had just went through a really rough season and I was just kind of feeling all kinds of condemnation. And the prophet pulled me to the side and I don't give off, you know, I'm a victim. You would never know that I am fully condemning myself. You wouldn't. Like, so I know this was all God. That's why sometimes I just like, God, You are so faithful. Like, I don't know why people don't want to serve Him. Yes. But it was a very private moment where she pulled me to the side and she was just like, I need to talk to you. Like, God needs you to know that He's proud of you. Wow. That, I could get like, because it was like she was in my bedroom. So I knew it was all God. And all of the intimate conversations that I had had with Him and just kind of like the things that I had shared, no one could have known. And it wasn't like a cookie cutter answer that or word that she spoke to me. He was so intentional with the words that He had her to use to let me know, this is me. Like, and that conscience, she was like, what you put in on yourself, that's you. That's not God. Like, and people don't see you the way you think they see you. Like, you're about as white as snow, you know, for, you know, and she just went through the things and she just was like, God just wanted to stop this moment. Cause we were ministering. Mm-hmm. Chris had made me get up on the stage and dance and we were praying for all of these people. Wow. And it was just so much going on, but He was so intentional to, stop everything, pull me to the side. And it was just an intimate moment. And she was there, but it was like an intimate moment with Him and I where I really experienced Him as a father. Like, I knew You was going to do this. Yeah. That's why I sent Jesus
as a savior. You know, that's why now you have the Holy Spirit as a helper. Like, and now you're feeling my love as a father. Like, I died on the cross and I appointed you before you even were here. I knew all of the things that you were going to do, but because I love you so much, I've equipped you, you know, with the Trinity.
Yeah.
So that now you could stand back up, feel all of who I am to you and all of what I've poured into you and then these people around you so that you could just really feel my love.
God is so proud of his children. I mean, so proud. Like, if you're a parent and you just think about your child and they could be standing up on the stage somewhere or just sleeping, doing nothing at all. But we're sitting there and we just have this joy that we feel like, I'm your parent. I'm your mom. You know, I'm your dad. I think you understand it a little more when you're a parent, how proud you are of them and who they are without them doing a single thing. You really understand. But if you haven't experienced that, I am telling you right now, regardless of what you've done, where you've been, the fact that you continue to call him God your Father and you continue to seek him and you continue to get up again, he's so proud that you just continue to show up. Just keep showing up. I promise you, he is more proud of you than anybody that you have ever met. He loves you so much because he chose you and he appointed you before you were even here. And guess what? He already knew all of the things that you were going to do, but he made it a point to let us know that he was proud of us.
When I just got, and I'm sitting there looking at her, because I'm not a tough cry. But I was sitting there and I'm like, I'm twitching and I'm like, oh my goodness. And he's like, stop trying to be so tough. Just relax. And when I tell you, I just cried when she walked away. And it was like, and since that moment, it's like, okay, God as my father, as, you know, somebody who, not like my natural father, he has flaws. He's man. You know, so my natural father, when he's upset with me for something that I did wrong, it doesn't feel like how when I do something wrong with God, it's totally different. So sometimes we have those great fathers and we have those great examples of how God loves us. But then we have like who my father is. If I did something wrong, I am all the way in trouble. And there is all kinds of condemnation and why would you do that? You know better than that. And you know, all of those things. But as he has gotten older, Holy Spirit has helped him even be a parent in, you know, in our older age. But it's just to experience God the way that I did in that moment.
But you know what? I love what you just said. You had said something about experiencing God. You wouldn't know God as the forgiver and the mercy and the grace had you not done dumb stuff. We all do dumb, stupid stuff. And so everything that we do, whether good or bad, we get to experience this beautiful thing about God as Savior or Lord or Healer or His grace or His mercy. You don't have to be good to experience God's goodness.
Yeah.
Even when your bad self is happening, God pours out his love on you to draw you back.
Yes. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds.
Yeah. Yes. And so every circumstance, no matter how bad we are, we still get to experience God's grace in calling us back home, is what I'm saying.
And you were saying too, like, you can't be good enough to deserve it.
He couldn't have
deserve it.
Right.
Right. It's not, performance isn't attached to God's love.
Yeah. Right.
Performance isn't even attached to the blessing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, now, of course, we want to honor God in all we do. And, you know, we talk about how God convicts. I always like to say God convinces, you know, because he's just such a merciful God.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes convicts feels harsh and it can be. But like you were talking about, there's something that's pure in that conviction. It's a want to be better.
It's not condemnation.
Right.
It's conviction.
It's conviction. And and you want to be better. It's almost like, God, I want to go into this place. Like you put the show on for your kids so you could go alone with God and say, purify me, God.
Yeah.
I don't want this in my life. It's stinking thinking. Mm-hmm. It's stinking ways. I don't want it. And it's a beautiful purification that you desire and yearn for. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And so I love that though, but our performance is not conditioned to his love.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's just take a minute.
Like, we would all be gone.
Yeah, we'd all be dead.
In the scripture, it says that Jesus came into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save that which was lost. He came to bring us into relationship with God, not to tell us all the things we're doing wrong, not to beat us over the head with shame and guilt and condemnation. No, that's the accuser of the brethren. That's the enemy that tries to tell us that we're not good enough, that we'll never get it right. Jesus came, and the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us. And sometimes I like to think about convicting as convincing. He wants us to experience God and the relationship we have through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in such a beautiful and magnificent way that we are led and drawn to God, that we are convinced that He is good and that He wants the very best for us. You know, the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Well, repentance simply means to turn around. And sometimes we need to be convinced that where we're going is the best direction. And I believe that's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to convince us to move forward in the things of God, knowing that God has got a great future and a hope for us.
And yet we get to experience God's delight.
Yes.
That Zephaniah 3:17 says that God is singing a song over us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember from our daughter's 21st birthday, she wanted to have some home video. You know, back in the day when you used to do this stuff, she wanted to have some home video. So we made this video and it was just hilarious. I'm like, I'm going all the way back from when she was first born. Matt is just, he's just beaming. He just knows, like, this is my daughter. I'm like, she's not doing anything. She hasn't achieved anything. She just is. And he is just there. I mean, he is just bursting. Mm. And I remember when I told him I was pregnant, almost 23 years ago, and I had to leave immediately. I had a work event. So I just left him with this news, and he wrote this, the father's song. And it's all about Zephaniah 3:17. Wow. Not like I get to be a dad, but like I just get to wonder what it's like to be Father God who delights in his children. Wow. I'm like, how much are we missing out on by just actually not meditating on the grace of that?
Yeah.
That we don't get to measure up. Because of Jesus, we can be presented pure and spotless, and we're not condemned, but we get to enjoy the delight, the beam, the love song of God over our lives. Mm. Like, imagine if we tuned our ear to hear that constant.
Yeah.
It's not performance-based, achievement-based.
Yeah.
It's grace-based, consistent delight. Mm. So I love that. It feels like that was a little bit of what God said to you was like, you have my delight. You are enough. And that ministered to you. I think that sets us free, right?
It does.
It's the goodness of God.
Yes.
That leads us.
Yes.
It's not the hammer.
Yeah.
You know, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, leads us to change, leads us to turn.
Yes. Because after that, I'm telling you, I was just like, oh, you really are amazing. Like, this is awesome. It made me want to do more.
Yes.
And it just made me want to please him in every way possible, because it was just like, you are really all of what the book says you are.
And that's what grace is supposed to be right there.
Yeah.
It's not, you didn't want to turn around and go back out and keep sinning.
Yeah, no.
Grace set you free.
Yeah.
And it changes you to I want to do all I can mm-hmm. for God because he loves me so much and yeah. he is good, yeah. you know?
Wow. It is so, it has to be from a revelation of his goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has to, because too many, I'm referring young people again, but it's because I hear this all the time. God's mad at me. Mm. I'm like, that's the accuser telling you
yeah.
that.
Yes.
God is not mad at you. It's what he's literally singing songs of deliverance over you. For God so loved the world. Mm-hmm. You have to personalize that. That's you.
Yeah.
You are, sometimes when we read these scriptures, you just think it's for someone else.
Love me.
And it's like, no, these promises are yours. It's like what you're saying. It's out of this, the goodness. It's out of who he is. Someone asked me one time, and we have this song called Not Ashamed. Mm-hmm. And someone goes, what provokes you to sing that? And I was like, well, do you really want to know? Because it's not just like I read Romans 1:16 and was like, let's, you know, write a song about it. Well, that's great. But it was out of an encounter with the Father. Mm-hmm. And the verse of that song literally opens up with, he's not mad at me, he's proud. This love changed me from the inside out. It may seem too good to be true, but this is why it's called good news. And I just went, this is why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, mm-hmm. is because I met the Father's love. Mm-hmm. And where I thought, so you hear that voice of condemnation, all these things, only the Father can silence that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you can't just go, I'm not these things. You have to know who you are, right. who the Father says you are. It's not enough to go, he's not mad. Well, then what is he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's proud. He's in love. He's lavishing his love on you. He is provider. He will give you everything you need. Mm-hmm. Like, he's it. He's yeah. everything. And so I think sometimes, you know, we can get, and I've done this where I get caught in the, okay, I can break the lie, silence the accuser, but that's not enough. Mm. You got to receive the truth and walk in what the Father is saying. Because yes. I go, that's where the exchange happens.
Yeah.
Where you go, oh my goodness, it's real. It's all real. Like, it's this is real. Crazy. Yeah. It is. It's all. And the Holy Spirit is what leads us in all that. The goodness and grace of God allows us to live in freedom and walk in a life of obedience because, first of all, let's start with grace, right? Grace enables us to walk with Jesus. You know, we can kind of say, oh, I did this, but there's grace. That's actually not a right view of grace. When you look through scripture, grace is a gift from God that enables us to walk with him and know him and fellowship with him, right? I heard Bill Johnson say one time, grace, true grace enables us to walk in the holiness of God. I loved that quote. And here's the thing, grace, understanding the grace of God and the goodness of God then puts a desire in us to want to obey him because we understand how rich in mercy he is. He's slow to anger, rich in love. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. The lordship of God becomes sweet. It's not a bitter taste. It's a come what may, I will obey. Because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good.
Get the latest Better Together news delivered straight to your inbox. Visit bettertogether.tv to sign up now.
It's easy to believe a lie.
Yeah.
You know, our mind, just naturally our flesh. That's why the spirit communes with our spirit. Mm. Doesn't commune with our flesh.
Yes. Mm.
It is spirit to spirit with God. And it's our spirit communing with his spirit. Because our flesh has a tendency to just gravitate naturally toward the negative. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you were even talking about how people don't understand and they just rehearse this. God's mad at me. Oh, this is happening to me because God doesn't love me. Mm-hmm. If God loved me, why would this be happening? You know, mm-hmm. and I believe that that's when you have to learn who you are, get the word of God, even if it's one scripture you recite every single day, right. Simply mm-hmm. get that into your spirit because you have to erase the lie
yeah.
and then you have to replace it.
Yes.
You can't just, you know, go, okay, I'm not going to think about them. You have to have something to replace it with.
Yes.
And so I think that's where we really have to concentrate because, you know, the Bible says that the idle mind is a devil's workshop. Mm-hmm. Well, when I heard that, I always think, well, that's just people who are not doing anything. You know what I mean? That's just people who are being lazy. But I came to this realization that We all have an idle mind at times. We put our mind on autopilot. Maybe we're doing the dishes. Maybe we're, you know, doing something very routine. We can allow our mind to go on autopilot. Well, the enemy knows as soon as we're not thinking of the goodness of God and we've gone on autopilot, he can come in and start planting seeds. That's when we start thinking about, why did they say that? Well, what did they mean by that? Well, I don't think they like me. And I don't think, and we start rehearsing maybe things that had happened, things that people have said. And I don't know about you, but I found myself doing, having this autopilot, whether I'm putting on my makeup or, or getting ready or packing or just, you know, I'm not thinking about really anything. I'm kind of just in that place. All of a sudden these thoughts, and I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, or past, well, maybe that didn't happen because you did this and that. Or, you know, the way that, the way our mind works, it just has a tendency to gravitate to the negative if we're not careful. And I got to thinking, you know, we have to be careful to not be idle-minded. Or we have to be careful to recognize when we're rehearsing the wrong thoughts, when we're rehearsing that action that was done to us or the things that came against us. And so, you know, it really changed that whole scripture for me. It's, you know, be careful what you're thinking about.
As a man thinks.
Because we all can be in a place of idleness. Whether we're just driving to the grocery store. You know, sometimes our mind will default. I had moved from one house to the other. Hadn't been lived there for a month or two. I'm driving home from the grocery store and not really thinking about much about anything. And I find myself driving up to my old house. I'm like, I don't live here. But it's because sometimes our mind will default back to something else. And we don't want to let our mind default back to the past, to the hurts, to the pains.
What does it look like to daily renew my mind? Well, it means aligning my thoughts with God. So when I wake up, where do I go first? Because my mind is all over the place, right? I want to go to God's word, like compass, anchor, strong place, tower, the truth that sets you free. And that's where you want to start your day, because everything flows from that place, because it's not just life, it's truth. And what does the truth do? It sets you free, sets you to walk into freedom. So I would say anyone who wants to get their mind right, go to the word of God. And I love in Psalm 103, like David's just having this super real moment where he's telling a bit of his story. There's been some hardships, there's been some failures, but he starts reminding himself about God's character and his kindness. And in that remembering, it actually leads to rejoicing. So I think it's meditating, it's remembering, it's recounting. All of those things are actually the most therapeutic, life-changing things you could do for yourself.
I think that, like you were saying, the young people need to understand they can control what they think. They are allowed to think the right thoughts. They don't have to think any old thought that just comes, because we all have thoughts that come into our head. Sometimes I have a thought and I'm like, where the heck did that come from?
It's like, whoa.
You know, it's like, that is not a thought that I'm going to think. That is not of God. That is not anything I want in my life. So I choose to just replace that thought with the right thought.
I mean, you told us in the word, take captive of those thoughts. So it's just kind of one of those things where it's a daily renewing. Like, we really have to be intentional about making sure we're thinking the right thoughts every day. Like, no matter what phase you are in with your walk with Christ, it's not something that I think we grow out of, that we just stop having bad thoughts. No matter how far in my walk with God that I feel I am or I'm not, I don't think I've ever had a day where I haven't had one thought that didn't align, you know, with something that the word said that I had to say, oh, no. That's not what he said. Take that back, put that somewhere else. I mean, that's where the devil tries to come in and tries to get us. He'll place those little thoughts and then they grow if we don't take them into captivity. So I love this conversation.
The key to the maturity is recognizing.
Yes. That's when you know,
mm-hmm. that's when the Holy Spirit's working, when you're becoming mature, when that fruit and that working on the inside be able to capture those thoughts and not the let them run.
The sooner the better.
That's what you learn.
Don't let it grow.
That's what you learn, I think, probably with age and, well, hopefully. Is that you stop it. You recognize it
more experience with God. Yeah.
The other day I was walking down the down my hallway at home, and in that idleness of packing or something, you know, and normally I've got the Bible going or a podcast, you know, Stephen Furtick or somebody's preaching, singing something good. And this time I'm just thinking, you know, and I'm moving around and all of a sudden, I'm walking down the hallway, and I just went, whoa. It's like, stop. Okay, I have the mind of Christ. You feel like a kindergartner going, okay, I have to start my life all over. Okay, just a minute. Because as a man thinks, so is he.
Yeah.
You start bringing life to thoughts that you have no business thinking about. And then you just meditate on the love of God that's towards me, that how much he loves me. How much he loves us, and that perspective changes, that start magnifying the Lord, and all of that goes away, and you can capture your thoughts. I heard Stephen say this morning, my joy, my job.
That's good.
You can't blame your joy on somebody else. My joy is my job.
Nobody can steal your joy.
Turn to your neighbor and say, my job.
I've learned to take my thoughts captive first and foremost through the scripture from 2 Corinthians 10, right? We take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. So what does this practically look like? I don't know about you, but I have really struggled with self-hatred, thought patterns of I'm not enough, I'll never be enough, I'm not good enough, and right? You could say, how could you deal with that? You know, everyone can look at someone else and say, how on earth are you thinking that? Well, 90% of our life is lived behind our skin and our emotions, our thought patterns, all these things. So it's actually really important that we learn through scripture how to take our thoughts captive in obedience to Christ. So a practical way for me, this just happened to me not even that long ago, probably even like 2 days ago. You know, I'm thinking, I'm just not enough. I'm not measuring up. I'm not doing enough, right? I have to take that thought captive and go, no, Lord, you are pleased with my obedience. You are pleased with how I'm walking with you. And I just take these thoughts captive. You are pleased. I am walking with you. I don't need to come under stress or striving.
The more we experience God, or the more we have those encounters with God, the easier it is to remind yourself, he did it before.
Yeah.
He can do it again. And I think that is what has come with growth.
What does the scripture say about having the mind of Christ?
Yes.
You know, so even though our mind is carnal, our spirit can give us the mind of Christ, right? We can think the thoughts of God. We can train our brain to begin to think the thoughts of God, to capture the wrong thoughts. So, you know, that'd be one of my greatest prayers is, God, help me think about what I'm thinking about. You know, don't let me be idle. Let me fill my mind with the right thoughts of God. And I don't know about y'all today, but I just want to pray that we'll all really be aware of what we're thinking about. Yep. And the younger generation, or those people who have not come to this realization yet, would now have a revelation or an awareness of that, where your mind goes, your life goes, where your thoughts are, that's who you will become. And so let's just pray right now. Father, I just thank you. As we have these talks and discussions, I think that we're growing, Father, and that we are imparting, Father, just a new, a freshness in you, Lord, that is being imparted in our spirit. And everyone that's listening, Lord, I just ask you right now that, Father, you are bringing them to new places in their thinking, that you are giving them the mind of Christ, that, Lord, we see and feel the love of the Father, and we will meditate on that love. We will not let that love be obscure, or we will not let it be distorted, but, Father, we will redefine your love, because you are the God of love. You are love. So, Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, Lord. We will meditate on the love. And we will find the scriptures that tell us that we are the apple of your eye. We are chosen. We are handpicked, handcrafted by mm-hmm. you. Father, let us think on these things, Father, all these things that are worthy of thinking on, the good things, Father, the things that are noble and of great character. Father, we thank you, Father, for the thoughts of God that live and dwell in us. And we pray for anyone, God, who needs those thoughts right now, that you are helping them, that you are rescuing them, that you are with them right now and for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.